and to preach the same things to you, to me indeed, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, to write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. To preach the same message over and over again to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but it's good for you. It's good for me. We don't have a new message. The message we have is the old, old, ancient, everlasting gospel message. And we just look at different scriptures, but it's the same message. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of the message then this evening is taken from verse 8 and verse 10, where the question is asked, who is this King of Glory? Boy, I want to know who he is. He's going to enter into glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Again, verse 10, the question is asked, who is this King of Glory? Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of a people. He's a Lord. He's the Lord of a host of people. 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000. That's a host, is it not? I asked my phone today, what is 10,000 times 10,000? It's 100 million. 100 million. And thousands of thousands. I can't do the math on that. Who is the King of Glory? He is our God and Savior. He's the King of all the earth. He's the King of salvation. Now, to the believer, the answer is most obvious. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is our King. He is our King. Peter said, that same Jesus whom you crucified, He's both Lord and Christ. He's our King. And our King enters into glory by the merit of His finished redeeming work. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. By the merit of His perfect righteousness, He enters in. And the good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ enters in for us. He's a representative man for His covenant people. Upon His finished redeeming work, and upon His perfect righteousness, we enter in to glory in Him. Not only demands His entrance and His reception into glory, but also demands our salvation as well. For who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Also demands our salvation. He gives us right and title unto salvation that He had wrought out for us. He's made us heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, I love that word, freely give us all things in our blessed Savior. Now look at verse 1 and 2, and we'll look down through these verses. Verse 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's. Now what a vast creation God has made. He created all things by the word of His power. By the word of His power. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be day, let there be night, let this appear and that appear, the dry land appear, the water appear, and it was so. The earth is the Lord's. It all belongs to Him, doesn't it? It's His creation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He has filled His creation with the fullness. The fullness. I think of that word fullness in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the fullness of salvation. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, the earth and the world, and all they that dwell therein, they all belong to Him. They all belong to Him. He created all men in that one man, Adam. He founded it. He established it. He created it. He fills it. He sustains it. And He blesses it. Always, always, all the time. Now don't turn, but let me just read this to you. If you're familiar with this in Colossians chapter 1. For by Him are all things created, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation, every creature. He's the Lord of all. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him all things consist. All things are held together by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Everything that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now what a clear and powerful declaration that all things, heaven, earth, and hell, all things belong to the Creator. The Creator, not the creature. Not the creature. He founded it, he established the creation of all things, and the Lord is the sustainer of all things. You ever notice the exact repeated order of all things in creation? How the planets all revolve and how everything has an order in God's universe? How does all that happen? How does all that, the sun, the moon, the time, the tide goes in, the tide goes out? Who controls all those things? Consistently, always, God Almighty. He's a controller, the sustainer. He created it. He established it. He's the sustainer of all things. And my friend, we know this. He is the absolute sovereign and dominion. He has absolute sovereign dominion over all things. Turn over here. Hold your place there. Find Psalm 135. Remember this scripture? Psalm 135. For I know that the Lord is great. Verse 5. Psalm 135, verse 5. I know that the Lord is great, and that the Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Whatsoever the Lord pleases, that's what he does. Look back here at Psalm 115. Not unto us, verse 1. O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Our God is God over all things. God created all things by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed, bought his people, redeemed his church, his people, by his precious blood. We are bought with a price. He redeemed us with his precious blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. We know that salvation, our salvation, is of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a God-man mediator, has been given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto his people. He told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, knowing I have all power, I have all dominion. God will use the preaching of his word to call out his people. And that's what we're about, preaching the gospel, preaching the word. Look at verse 3, who shall ascend? Who shall ascend into the presence of the Lord, to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall ascend and who shall stand? Now, to ascend is one thing, but to ascend to the presence of the Lord and to stand there, that's quite another, is it not? Who shall ascend into the presence of the Lord? What sinful and puny creatures possess any ability and any righteousness to enter into God's holy presence upon anything they have done or they have given or they have thought? Our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Remember, let me just read this to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He's the only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, verse 15. I think we read this recently in a message. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Only those in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall stand or abide in his holy place? If you could ascend upon the merit of creature righteousness, who would be able to continue there? None. None at all. Hold your place there and look back here at Psalm 1. Look at verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Look over here at Psalm 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Remember what the fool said? The fool hath in his heart, there is no God. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. If thy Lord shouldest mark iniquity, Psalm 130. If thy Lord shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? We can't stand in our merit. We can't stand in our righteousness. We can't stand in our morality. But how foolish is the religion of men? How foolish is the religion of men to think they can ascend to the hill of the Lord, to the presence of God, His holy presence, and then to stand there and continue there upon creature righteousness? I was watching the news a while back, may have been today, and tomorrow is that high Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur. And they were interviewing a Jewish rabbi, and he's talking about how good people are and how they have merited mercy and how they have merited all this from God. And I thought, how deluded can sinners be to think they merit God's mercy? Well, if you could merit mercy, it wouldn't be mercy. It'd be something you've earned or deserved. Now here's his answer. Who shall ascend? Who shall stand? Well, pretty high bar. Pretty high standard. He that hath clean hands, he that has a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity. Remember Psalm 39 verse 5 said, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Who's going to ascend and who's going to stand in the holy place, God's holy presence? One who has a clean hand, a pure heart, who has no vanity, no emptiness, no guile, no sin, nor has sworn deceitfully. Now, who's this describing? It would be a sad perversion of this precious scripture to suppose that it describes any fallen son of Adam. It only describes the second Adam, the Lord of glory from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our nature. He's the one God-man mediator. He's the only one that has ascended to glory upon the merit of His righteousness. Where shall we look among the fallen sons of Adam to find such a man? He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You remember Romans 3? There is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, but there is one, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a man whose name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, who has ascended to glory and does abide in God's holy presence for us. Let me read this to you. I've set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty in the heavens on high. You remember this scripture we read recently in Hebrews 9:24. For Christ had not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The presence of God for us. None but the Lord Jesus Christ could it be said that he had clean hands. No outward violation of the law of God. One who never sinned in word, thought, motive, or deed. Never, never, never. He honored and magnified the law of God for us. He had no sin, as we often say, and the scripture says this. He had no sin, he knew no sin, and he did no sin. He was made sin for us, but in and of himself, he's a holy, harmless, undefiled high priest that represents us. None but the Lord Jesus Christ could it be said that he had clean hands. And how about a pure heart? We often hear men say, well, that man, he has a good heart. And I know what they mean by that. He's a good old guy. He would probably pull you out of a mud hole. But no man has a good heart. No man has a pure heart. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could it be said he has a pure heart. One who has never imagined a vain thing or ever had an evil thought. In Hebrews 7, it talks about our great high priest who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. He never lifted up his soul to vanity. One who has loved God perfectly with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength always. We studied in the book of Acts, chapter 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's none good but God. He never sworn deceitfully. One who always speaks perfect, absolute truth. Our Lord said in John 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know what? Some things that God cannot do, God cannot change, and God cannot lie. I heard someone say on the radio just recently, a lie is a lie no matter how many times it's told. A lie is a lie no matter how many people believe it. And a lie never becomes the truth. A lie always changes. It's impossible for God to lie. He has never sworn deceitfully. He said, I've spoken it, I bring it to pass, I purpose it, I will do it. The words he speaks, they are spirit and truth. These are a description of none but our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who was holy, harmless, and undefiled, who appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I read this in John chapter 3 today. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's our Lord speaking to Nicodemus. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now look at verse 5. He shall receive. This person who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted his soul to vanity, never sworn deceitfully, that man's going to be blessed of God. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. He shall receive the blessing, all the blessings that come from the Lord. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? From the Lord. From the Lord. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Boy, who needs salvation? I tell you who needs salvation, sinners. And we're sinful through and through. Sinners need God's salvation. Who but the Lord Jesus Christ has earned all the blessings of the covenant of grace. And he did this for his elect. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. If we throw Christ out of this picture, if we take Christ out of the gospel, if we throw Christ in the background and put covenant blessing based upon our obedience, our righteousness, or upon our faith, our repentance, and make ourselves as the character described here only to gratify our sinful pride, we sadly corrupt the truth of this blessed scripture. We're only blessed because of Christ. We count everything else lost, dung, and ruined that we may win Christ and be found in him. Look at verse 6. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek his face. Now, when you seek someone's face, you're seeking his person. Simeon said, Lord, let me die. Now I've seen thy salvation. Salvation's in a person. This is the generation of them that seek him. When he says unto us, turn one page, look over at Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart, my heart said unto me, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When he says, seek the Lord, that's what we'll do. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O God of Jacob. He's a God of Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The generations of believers, the true seed of Abraham, the true seed of Christ, the elect of God, given to him in the covenant of grace, all that the Father giveth to me, they will come to me. And those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. You remember, we studied in Galatians chapter 3, where our Lord said, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek him, that seek thy face. Oh God. Look right across the page. Psalm 22 verse 30. A seed shall serve him. Thy seed is Christ. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this, that he hath saved his people by his grace. They seek salvation upon the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They seek salvation in him, in him. His face, his person, his sacrifice, his righteousness. They sing unto him that all the salvation we enjoy is of the Lord. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. To him be all the honor and glory both now and forever. Look at verse 7 and verse 9. This is repeated. Verse 7 and verse 9. Now lift up your head. Oftentimes we get discouraged and we hang our head down. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. We have so many reasons to be thankful and rejoicing in the Lord. Lift up your head. Look unto the Lord. When you lift up your head, fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And be lift up, ye everlasting doors. We have reason to rejoice. The King of Glory is coming in. The King of Glory is coming home. Remember, what do you think the angels of glory thought when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of God and sat down? They were rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. Look at verse 9 again. Lift up your heads. Oh, lift up your head. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The everlasting, He is the, our Lord said, I am the door of salvation. He's the everlasting Savior. He has everlasting salvation. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of Glory is coming in. The King of Glory is coming home. That's good news. Our great God repeats His glorious statement twice. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. And the King of Glory shall enter in and occupy the throne as a believer's forerunner. That's what we read a moment ago over here in Hebrews chapter 6. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered in. Even Jesus, the Savior, made a high priest forever after the order, unchanging order of an eternal priesthood like unto Melchizedek. The doors of glory are shut to guilty sinners, but the doors of glory must swing open wide to receive the returning conquering king. He's coming back as a conquering king, as a victor. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. The disciples of the Lord watched the Lord of glory ascend to heaven. What a great day of celebration this must have been to all the inhabitants of glory, redeemed saints, elect angels, who attend the gates of heaven, the King of Glory's coming home as a mighty victor, having accomplished all God's will in the salvation of His covenant people. Verse 8 and verse 10, who is this King of Glory? The question is asked, who is this King of Glory? I love the answer, the Lord strong. How strong is He? He's the Almighty God. He's strong and He's mighty, and the Lord's mighty in battle. He's taken on all of our enemies head on. Sin, death, the devil, and defeated all of our enemies. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The Lord's strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of Glory? Verse 10. He's the Lord of a people. He's a Lord of hosts. He is a King of Glory. He's a Lord strong and mighty, who's able to perform all of His purpose. It says in Psalm 57, He's performed all things for us. Able to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Able to save sinners to the uttermost that come to God by Him. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to perform, I'm persuaded like Abraham, He's able to perform all that God has promised. And He made a lot of promises. All the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, and amen. And He's fulfilled them all for us. He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's the Lord, verse 2, mighty in battle. He's the captain of our salvation, who has won the great victory for us. How many battles has He been in? A lot of battles. How many losses does He have? None. He's won every battle. He cannot fail. He's the God who cannot fail. He defeated every enemy of our soul. I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Who freely gives us all the spoils of His victory. He that spared not His own Son, but deliver Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them Himself. He's made us heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this King of glory? Verse 10. He's the Lord of hosts. Don't forget that. He's the Lord of a covenant people. He came as a representative man, lived as a representative man, honored the law of God as a representative man, died on Calvary's tree for our sins laid upon him, did so representing those people given to him in that covenant. And when he ascended to glory, he ascended to glory as a representative man. You remember, don't turn because you're so familiar with this. I quote it all the time and read it all the time. Over here in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, already seated in glory. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, we ascended. When he sat down, we sat down in him. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He ascended as the Lord of hosts. The forerunner for us has entered in. We have an anchor and hope of our soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory. He represents the people redeemed by his blood out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue under heaven. 10,000 times and thousands of thousands. That's a lot of people. All redeemed with his precious blood. He's the God of all grace. He's the King of glory. He's the Father of mercies. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He's my God, my King, my Lord, my Savior. Christ is all and in all. In him we stand complete.